Well, you guys are back, and I never went anywhere. So welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I got a cold on the plane on the way there. So the whole time I was there, I was like, I couldn't talk. I lost my voice completely. I had to do a presentation. And just like an hour before I had to go up and do my presentation, I lost my voice. So I was talking on the microphone like this. But it went off well. It went off well. And I've been slowly
getting
Everybody
just thought you were a creeper. I'm just like, oh, close to the microphone.
Talking like this.
Yeah. No, as the week went on, I got my voice back. And then I have to do, in an hour from now, I have to do voiceover for my car commercial that I taped a few weeks ago. I told her, I said, my voice sounds a little creepy. She's like, we'll figure that out. So
we'll just make a creepy commercial.
Yeah.
That's this is funny. Why we need AI voices.
Well, that's what I was thinking. They have enough of my voice from the long form interview, which they use pieces of. If I say something, can I say whatever the script, I guess they could even just type it in, type the script in and use whatever voice they already have of mine to sculpt that VO together.
That is the thing that exists now, which is crazy.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
We've tried it. Did I tell you guys about this?
How'd it go? So.
Yeah. I think it's called Descriptor is what it's called or something. There's an app that it's been Descript. Around for a while. Descript. That's what it is. And Forby did some tests with it a while back, fed in a bunch of my voice and then gave it a little script to read. And it's funny because it was the free version. So they, every once in a while, it will just, the voice will say like kind of jumbled noise so that you can't use it. You can, you know, it's just to show that it works.
It's like that watermark.
I can't remember what the word was that it was saying, but it was really funny. So it was just me talking and it totally sounded like me. And then it was like, jumbly dumbly or some, you know, like some weird random thing. But yeah, it works surprisingly well. It's a little bit scary.
I'll decide an hour after our podcast. So I'll let her make that decision.
Well, so tell us about the trips. Both of you went on trips and I want to hear about both of them. You, before we recorded, you gave me the little one sentence. Yeah, it was a good time. Kind
yeah,
of
thing, I went
but
to
I want
Sweden.
To hear about the trips.
I went to Sweden for Lagersol and then I had to fly in. Rachel came with me so that I wouldn't get lost into the ether. She's very good at traveling and she completely can deal with all the administrative stuff when it comes to flights and trains. And she's really good at that. She traveled all around the world 50 times and she still does. So when I decided to go to Sweden, I brought her along with me so I wouldn't get lost. And we had a lot of fun. We went to the event. I went to the event, which was the world meeting for Lagersol, the sawmill company I'm starting to work with. And it was great. I got to meet all the Swedish makers that are involved with Lagersol who I didn't know. So now I have a whole new team of friends. Amazing guys. Really, really great visit. And a lot of these guys have known me for a while and they know you guys. So I got a chance to meet several names that you guys might be familiar with. It was a really wonderful time. So now I have a whole new team of friends from Sweden. And I have a loose idea to have all the Swedish log cabin makers come next summer and build a log cabin, either in this property or the other one. And they really liked that idea. So that's a possibility. Wow. So that came up while I was there. So that was really fun. But besides that, I got a chance to really get up close and personal with the machines, which right away I saw one of the machines. And I thought to myself, I don't have those parts. And they said, no, they came in your package. It's like, I don't have these parts. So last night when I got home, I went over to the house where the storage is with the flashlights and I looked and I'm like, I don't have those parts. So I sent him a message. I said, I'm missing some of the parts. It won't inhibit me from getting started. They're more like, they're hydraulic parts for lifting and positioning the log. So it's just one, there's several aspects to that package. I'm just missing one of the, it seems like it all might have been in its own palette. And looking at the photographs when the packages arrived, I basically did a little detective work and realized that maybe the top of one of the pallets was missing, which could have housed all just that one part. So it's probably a DHL package to get me back in store. But that's not going to inhibit me from using the saw. It's just a part of the lifting and moving mechanisms. Beyond that, it was amazing to see the saws up close and what a wonderful company Lagersol is. A great family business. The gentleman who started the business, I wish I could say his name, but it's a Swedish name. I can't remember how to say. He was such a sweet guy. He shook my hand. He's 80 something years old. He shook my hand and immediately said, as he shook my hand, he goes, oh, this guy knows how to use his hands. He like pulled my hand in and like flipped my palm open and was looking at my palm and turned to his wife and said, this is a man who uses his hands with his Swedish accent. It was really cute. And That's then later awesome. On, we happened to be on the bus ride together, and he shook my hand again, and he asked me if I was having a good time. And again, he started getting obsessed with my hands and showing everybody around.
So, like, my hands I don't know if you have plans for your tombstone or not yet. You probably do, knowing you. But that would be an excellent quote to have on your tombstone.
What would it say?
This is a man who knows how to use his hands, or whatever it was he said. Like, that would be awesome.
I used to hang out with this writer who was a funny guy. We lost touch with each other over the years, but he said your tombstone should just say life with an X next to it, or a line through it, life, as if like off cross that off the list.
Done.
yeah, something like that. So that's kind of always been the joke. It's like it's just going to say life with an X checked next to it. So that was a thought. We talked about that recently as a joke. But beyond that, it was such a great trip. And then on the way back, we had to go. So they're about 300 miles north of Stockholm. So you fly to Stockholm, and we took an airplane to them. And then on the way home for the scenic, we took a train ride back to Stockholm on Friday or Sunday, maybe Sunday, and spent 2 days in Stockholm, Rachel and I. And we had a really, really beautiful trip. It's such an incredible city. It's got so much history. And Rachel surprised me with this incredible museum, which I'll use as my recommendation. We got to go see this ship that sank in the harbor 335 years ago. And in the late 50s, early 60s, they devised the plan to bring it up out of the harbor, and they raised it. And now there's a museum dedicated to the ship that sank in the harbor on the very first day that it set sail, a big warship with millions of relics on it. And everybody, the whole town watched it just go out into the harbor and sink. Pretty interesting. And the boat is there. 98% of the boat is on display. You could see where the wood is that was rotted completely away. But because of the nature of this inlet, the wood was preserved to some extent. You would assume after all this time that there wouldn't be anything left. They were able to raise the boat and float it to the dock just a mile away where it lives now. Such an incredible feat of engineering and just... I don't know, what would you say, hubris of like, no, we want this. Like, that's not going to work. No, I want what I want. And then the boat sinks. There's a whole long story to it. But it's an incredible feat of human engineering. Building the boat, letting it sink for stupid reasons, and then bringing it back up. And what they've been able to do since the 1960s. And the museum that it's in now is relatively new. It's only 25 years old. And I remember as a kid, it was a surprise to me that we got to see this. It wasn't, Rachel's like, I got a surprise for you. She picked it and we went there. But as soon as I saw it, I said to myself, I remember reading about this in National Geographic in maybe the 80s or the 70s, which it wasn't on display at that time. But the pictures are just as incredible as I remember as seeing it in person.
Well, as soon as you mentioned it, like before we started recording, I was like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. And that's probably what it was. National Geographic or something, but I remember
VASA,
it from
the VASA, the VASA. It's basically been being worked on since 1963, that's 60 wild. Years. And only in the last 20 or so has it been on public display. Incredible. So the trip was great, and we got home. And like I said, I got home. You want to hear a funny story? Because of the weather, it's dry and cool here now. I remember the bucket I made over the summer? I made a wooden bucket with ring hoops. So the very first thing I did when I got home is I started organizing because I got a million packages. I started organizing the packages. And I noticed that my wooden bucket, the rings had fallen off of it because the wood shrunk. I got home, my package, my suitcase was still in the car. And I was like, oh, the wooden bucket, it's about to fall apart. So I tried to bring the rings back up to keep it together. And as I was delicately trying to get the rings, the whole thing just went, completely apart. And so the very first thing I did when I got on, Rachel was laughing. I piled all the parts into the side-by-side, drove it down to the shop, and I spent the first hour putting the wooden bucket back together. Because in my mind, I'm like, if this doesn't get put together this minute, it's going to end up in the fire. And everyone's going to go, where's your wooden bucket? I'm going to point to two steel hoops and go, there it is. So I put the wooden bucket back together. So everything's back right with the world. But it's nice to be back. And I also went to go check my parts list to make sure. And as I suspected, we're missing a couple of things. But it's like I said, it has nothing to do with the operation of the saw itself. So I'm really excited to get into the sawmill situation and start working on that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's going to be fun to watch. That's something that I have no experience with and have never been able to justify even like exploring, you know, like it just, it doesn't
fit into what I do, know, but. I know in my life it's going to, I always knew that getting a sawmill is going to mean getting a new tractor, setting up space for it. And you know, there's a whole system that you can't ignore that you need. And that's why I bought the tractor recently, is because of this. But I also, it was like the tipping point. I need it for these other things, but I'm also going to need it for this. If I really want to be successful at having fun with this machine and making planks for the new house, making furniture. I have some ideas on doing some like anvil stands. I have a lot of ideas and some art pieces I want to play with. So it's going to really open up a whole new world.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Well, how was Austin?
Austin was amazing. Weather was very nice. We went to the F1 race and we got the 3-day pass, and it was, even though the weather was nice, like 85 degrees in the hot sun for 3 days is completely exhausting, but it was a good time. Kelly's team did amazing. My team didn't do amazing, but it was a really cool experience.
You have different teams?
we like different teams. Yeah. If you don't know, F1 has two drivers per team. And at the end of the year, there is a driver points championship and then a team points championship. And so sometimes team play comes into play for the races and makes things interesting. So Kelly likes Ferrari. I like McLaren. And it was a pretty good race. When you go to an F1 race, you only see a little section of the track. And so it's really like you can get radios. So we had radios so we could understand what was going on. We also had a big screen in front of us so we could see what's going on too. But you really go for the experience and not to go to watch a race, if that makes any sense. Like when we got back to the hotel, well, at least the next day, we actually watched the race again. Because that's the kind of fans we are. So it was quite the experience. We went to a bunch of nice restaurants and ate some good food and had a good time.
Very cool.
It was our 10-year wedding anniversary. And so I made rings. I have never finished the rings on time except for the very first year for our wedding. And every year we retire the rings and I make new rings. I've never been on time until this year. We went out to dinner we flew out on Thursday. Thursday was our anniversary. We went out to dinner that night and then I presented the rings and on time. So next year I got a free pass to be late again.
Either that or you've set the bar for yourself and now you can't ever be late again. One of those two things.
Yeah, that's too much pressure. That's just, yeah, take it easy.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad both of the trips were great.
Yeah. We went on a weird fact about Austin is we went on a boat tour. So there's these bats that migrate in and out of Austin every year, like millions, and they live under a bridge. And so you can take a boat tour. They call it a lake, but it's a river. Austin's very confused about their bodies of water. They call it a lake, but it's totally a river. But there are these bats. They live for some reason. There's a couple of bridges that are just perfect for housing bats, and millions fly there every year. And so you can take a boat tour, and they come out nearly the same time every night. So you get to see them leave. They come out at night to go feed, and that's pretty incredible. So on the boat tour, you get in a history of the city. And before 2005, their tallest building was 6 floors. And now they've got high rises everywhere. So every building in that city is basically brand new. It's totally weird.
That is weird. I know there's a few places that I've been that have like a local law that you can't build. Well, Savannah was like that. You can't build above whatever the number of stories was. So it kind of keeps that skyline down. Santa Barbara is that way. I think you can't build over 2 stories, maybe, because it's right up against the ocean. So the people that are the furthest from the ocean want to be able to see the ocean.
Yeah.
But it makes somebody for a really cool small town.
You know,
or low town.
somebody came in, totally ignored the rules, and then once you break the rules, everybody else can do the same, and then game over. Yeah. Wow. It's like in Ohio here, most places don't have that rule, and it's so weird when we go to, especially in like Southwest cities, where no sign is higher than, you know, like 20 feet, where here, like the McDonald's sign is, you know, 200 feet up, so you can see it way down the highway. And then when you go to other cities, they don't have, all the power lines are underground and all the signs are low. And it's just such a different feeling. I wish we could adopt that here, but it's too late.
Yeah. Once it's happened, you can't really go back on it. Everybody lower your signs.
Yeah.
Doesn't really work. I'm sure I've talked about this before, but when I lived in Savannah, Hilton Head Island is in South Carolina, and it's like 30, 45 minutes away. And it was a very planned town. And so they have, like, you have to get approval for how your buildings are built, because they have to fit with the rest of the commercial stuff. They have a color palette that they have to follow on the outside of their buildings. There's a certain limit on the height of the buildings, the signage, all of the stuff. And that sounds like it would make it really nice. And it's a nice town. It's like not a bad place or anything, but it's so boring because there is nothing unique in that.
Interesting.
From my perspective, and granted, I haven't been there in a long time, there's nothing unique in that town at all. It's all the same three colors. Even like Taco Bell, the sign is the wrong colors for Taco Bell. So you have all these brands that you're used to seeing in certain colors, you know, and they're just not. And it's kind of weird. So I get the intent, but some individuality is also nice.
Huh. Anyway. So the city has a style guide.
Yeah.
That the brands have to abide to. That's funny.
Yeah. It's a strange place. Well, cool. I'm glad you guys had good trips. Let me tell you about where I went.
Tell us.
Nowhere. I went nowhere. I didn't do anything at all. Anything interesting. Just, you know, regular a week. So, didn't even work on anything cool enough to talk about. That's how cool it was. Just a regular a week. But last week, after we recorded, I sent out a message to our Patreon supporters, who are amazing.
Yes.
Just amazing. And we asked them for questions, because next week will be our 10-year anniversary. Are we sure that's right? Are we sure?
Are you sure 10 about years? That?
We are 100% sure.
Are you sure about that? Because you got married already a couple of days later.
Yeah, so that's
yes.
That's
yes.
How we remember.
That's true.
Yep.
You're not wrong about that. So, yes, I agree.
Are you sure about that?
But it's a 10-year anniversary of doing this podcast, which is bananas that it's been that long, but also that we've been able to do it for that long. It's pretty wild. So we asked them for questions, you know, because we haven't done like a Q&A thing for a while, and we got a whole lot of them. So good. This might take us a couple weeks to get through. There's some really good questions about today and about 10 years ago and stuff in here. And so they're all from people who support us on Patreon. I figured we'd just go through them and see how far we get, which is probably not going to be very far, because there's three answers for every question, and some of them are kind of deep. So if you guys are up for that.
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
I like deep.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so the first one, this is from Chris Sater, and I assume this is directed at Jimmy. It's the question is, what's it like being old?
Yeah. Honestly, it's I'm starting to feel it. Besides the physicality of my joints hurting and my knee, my shoulder hurts, my knee hurts. Ongoing, I don't know what to do. There's people in my life that like were setting up doctor's appointments because you can't have achy joints. And I was like, I'll just ignore it till it goes away. But
it's not how medical stuff usually works. But
I say it all the time when I have a TV meeting. I'm like, I am not a spring chicken, guys. You guys are talking about these timelines. I'm going to be 60 in a couple of years. That's 60. You don't see too many 60-year-old hosts in TV shows. So there's two things. It's like a little double-edged sword. It's sometimes I know I'm the smartest guy in the room because I'm three times older than everybody. And I have the most experience. So in that case, I feel like I can go to bat with anybody. And as far as technical challenges, and other times I look around and I just see it's going quick. Better enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I've always lived my life seat of the pants. I'll figure it out later. But it's getting worse. And I don't know if I should be scared or I should just be like, whatever. So when it comes to, you know, dropping $80,000 on a tractor or committing to this payment or that payment, it's just like, whatever. I got a limited amount of time. It's going to work out one way or another.
Yeah. Well, I think he was joking about the question. Just, oh. But
it's true. These are
at the same time, huh? Yes, you're right. Like, and yeah. I think all of it was directed to all of us because we are all old.
Yeah.
You know, something funny I saw a couple of days ago, though, that's kind of related to this. You've seen Karate Kid, right?
Yeah.
Is that one of the movies, the three movies you've seen in your lifetime?
I did see that. I saw that. Okay. I think with my dad and my sister in the movie theater.
So you remember, oh my gosh, I just
Ralph
lost
Macchio?
His name. No, the other, the
Mr. Miyagi?
His teacher, Miyagi. I could not think of Miyagi for some reason. All right, so you remember what Mr. Miyagi looked like?
Yeah.
In that movie, right? Arnold, how old do you think Happy he was Days. In that movie?
It was like probably like 39.
But he looked at the time, when yeah. you saw it, you're like, he's easily 50. In his 70s or 60s okay. or something, yeah. you know, yeah. like whatever.
But I'm guessing he was probably 47.
He was 52.
Right. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so I saw a picture of him at that from that movie at 52 and a picture of this year of Ralph Macchio at 60-something, 63 or something. And Ralph Macchio looks like a 40-year-old.
Yeah, I know. He's amazing. He doesn't get old.
Is like, you know, I'm sure he dyes his hair or whatever, but he has like dark hair. He's like fit. He's active. He's still doing the Cobra Kai show. But it was one of those things, seeing the two faces next to each other and the ages, that like our perception of age and how it actually turns out is pretty inconsistent. You know what I mean?
There's a Vsauce video that I think it's Vsauce. And he goes over the perception of age and why we think people looked older when you it's really hard to, you know exactly what I'm saying, but it's hard to put into words.
You see a lot of these memes going around now where it shows Mr. Roper from Three's Company and it says like Mr. and Mrs. yeah. Roper were like a retired swinger couple. In reality, she was like 49 and he was like 51.
That's an amazing younger reference.
Right? But you see it a lot. And then like I just saw the cast of Barney Miller and it showed all their ages at the time and none of them were over 50. And you look at them all, and you just think that they're all. Like, the only one over 50 was Fish, who was 54, who looked like he was 79. And they made the joke the whole time. If you guys don't remember Barney Miller, I'm the only.
I remember Barney Miller. I don't remember the surrounding characters.
Yeah.
Well, the videos that you were talking about is called "Did People Used to Look Older?" I just found it. I'll put it in the show notes. Found it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another funny story, and we can move on. I put out the general call of garbage on the sidewalk at my dad's house when we go there, because a lot of stuff we can't throw in the dumpster, but we just don't want to try and sell it, so we just put it on the sidewalk. And people come from far and wide, and it all goes away. So we've done that several times over the year. And one guy came, and he just keeps going, "Man, you look familiar. You look familiar. You look familiar." And he's a young kid. Got involved, and he's like, "I'm a metal scrapper." I'm like, "Take all the metal." So we hung out all day. About an hour into him hanging out, he goes, I watch your videos. You're Jimmy DiResta." And I was like, yeah. He goes, "I love your videos." He goes, "Oh, man." He goes, "It's amazing." And so like an hour later, he's hanging out, and he goes, "You know why I didn't recognize you right away?" I go, "Why?" He goes, "You got old." He goes, "Dude, you got really old."
That's great. That's great.
And you're like, "Why don't you put everything back that you just took and go somewhere else?"
I just laughed. And I said, "I know. I see videos pop up I did 11, 12 years ago. And I don't have any gray hair in my beard." And I was like, "That's can't stop time." Do you guys see Eminem last night? Eminem, it was in Detroit. He opened up for Obama. And Eminem looks like, I said to Rich, like, he's dying his beard. There's no way Eminem's 40-something years old. For and sure. His beard is that black. Like, when I was a kid, you say Grecian formula, it turns you, makes your beard look natural. The only person that ever fooled me with a dyed beard was you, Dave. And when you told us you dyed your beard, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Years ago. Remember you mentioned that on the show?
Yeah.
It looks so natural.
I probably talked about it because I am allergic to dye. And I used to dye my hair all kinds of crazy colors back in the 90s when I was cool and young. And years ago, I dyed my beard and my face just immediately just reacted and blew up, and I had to go to the doctor and get some Benadryl or something. Yeah.
But there's just the natural aging process of what happens with the way you look and the way the hair looks. It just seems to go together. The minute you mess with that, it's just, you kind of messing with the God's design. So
it's funny you brought up Eminem because he performed at the F1 track while we were there. We actually left before Eminem performed. But I was thinking the same thing because there's photos, you know, and up all over Austin because he was performing. And I was like, there's no way his beard is that black. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he used to dye his hair blonde, so you can give it to him as a performer.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. Well, let's go on to the next. Actually, that wasn't even his real question. Chris, it says, what is it like being old? Joke. And then, if you could start this podcast over from the beginning, what would you do differently? Is there anything we would do differently from the beginning?
I don't know. I think it was a really natural way it rolled out, the way it got together. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe spend a little bit more time preparing for shows, but I think that's also the charm of the show is that we're very seat of the pants and we always do find a topic even when we don't have one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we need to prepare. I think that's why a lot of people listen. It's just a conversation between three people who make stuff.
I honestly don't remember an episode where we got to the end and we were like, boy, that was a dud. Should we not release it? That never happened one time. Never.
Yeah. I mean, other people may listen to it and hear that, but I don't think the three of us ever thought that.
That's true.
I mean, honestly, I think that, and that could be true. I'm joking that you're saying that, but that actually could be true. But I think the three of us enjoy it because it's a chance for us to actually get to hang out and talk with no agenda and no goal and no, you know, we have deadlines to approve and create this.
But
thing
also,
when
you look back at the 10 years of all of our genesis of all of our lives in 10 years, so much has happened for each one of us. And the beginning, I remember one of the first things is like, oh yeah, I want to learn how to use a laser. I'm getting like my fifth laser in shipping soon, any minute. I've been experimenting with all types of CNC. I've learned so much about it. It's so in the rearview mirror right now, and such a part of my life.
And you have so many more cars than you used to have. It's crazy.
So I really do.
All right. We got a lot of questions.
And workshops.
And houses. I used to only have one building, and now I have so many buildings. Let's see. Okay. So this one's from Oliver Brunt. If you had to reinvent yourselves, what would it be and why? And that could be from right now or if you had to go back in time and like do it then. So reinvent yourself tomorrow or 10 years ago. What would change?
I don't think anything would change with me except for the fact that my healthy diet and my workout plan, that would be it. I just wish that at this age, it's really important to stay more physically fit than it was years ago when I took it for granted. So the fact that I'm getting older, I took a complete mental break from the bike for the last month because of so much travel and visitors and this and that. I haven't been on the bike in a month. And now that I'm back, I'm going to start again. I'm going to start my program over. But I just wish working out for me was a little bit more of my day-to-day routine instead of a chore. But that's no different than probably 90% of Americans.
I still find music to be very magical. Like it's this thing that I will never be a professional musician, but that still seems like it still feels like a dream. So if I could reinvent myself, I would go back and I'd be a little bit more disciplined in learning my instrument or instruments, learning more instruments. And I know I could do that now, but it's not a priority now because there's other things that I'm trying to learn to improve my life. So it's not going to happen. I might get better at some things, but I'm not going to get good enough where people are going to demand albums. So
I demand an album. Because I'd like to hear it. I'm with you on that. The same thing with music. I wish that it was something that I still play, but I wish that I had fostered it. I wish that I had grown in it. I wish I had learned more about recording. And because now I'm in a place where, I don't know if we've talked about this on here or not, but my daughter writes music and plays music and she's amazing and she wants to record stuff. And I have everything we need to do it. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty of doing a good recording about something, like I'm really just kind of figuring it out. And that's something I could have been practicing over the last 16, 17 years, you know, but, so I think that would be something I would have pushed more into my own practices, you know, is definitely the music thing. And I'm really happy years back, probably around the same time period that I started running, not because I like running, because it was a transitional moment for me in my own health. It was like I decided that I needed to stay healthy enough for my kids, yeah, you know, going forward, so I could be like an active grandfather and stuff like that. And I'm glad I started running, but I wish at that point that I had not only run. I wish that I had started running and lifting and climbing more and yeah, varied my stuff, because now, all these years later, I'm in this like running super easy. I can just go run and then I feel like I've checked off the exercise thing, and then I try to do push-ups and I'm like, man, running doesn't help push-ups. That's tough. You know, I wish I had varied the exercise up a bit. Again, I've learned, I can do now, but yeah, you know,
I've learned recently as you get older, this is not health advice. This is just what I've read, that as you get older, cardio is not as important as strength. You want to build your muscles as you get older, so you still have the mobility and all the
stability
stuff.
Stability too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had heard something recently that building muscle as you're getting older for the sake of stability, not even strength, can actually help you live longer, because most people that fall at an old age end up having like chronic pain or chronic whatever, or death from the fall. It's like that causes all sorts of other problems that can really push you down the age thing a lot faster. But if you're more stable, you're less likely to fall. So old people advice. Ugh. Anyway. All right. So let's move on. Chris Thompson. What is a project that you, by the way, thank you to all these people for these questions. Yes. They're all fantastic. What is a project that you hit a roadblock on that another podcaster cleared the roadblock for you that without the podcast may have gone unsolved?
That's a deep one. I don't know.
That is a good one. I feel like I'd never made a list for this, but basically half of the things that I do. I mean, like all of the metalworking questions that I've ever been stumped on, we've talked about here, and I've gotten it, you know,
unknown caller.
You know, a lot of stuff about the car. I mean, there's been a ton of stuff. I don't even know that I could make a list of those things that you guys have helped, just your experience has helped me with.
Yeah. I can't think of a,
we're talking about internally, right? Like
what each one of us have taught.
Yeah. Oh, like a lot of the technical stuff with CNC stuff. I was inspired and learned a lot from both of you guys. Much more so.
Yeah, I can't think of a single, like a particular project, but the encouragement to try something new and to explore new things, or just to, I think in the back of my mind, sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't wait to show Bob and Jimmy this thing, because this is a new thing for me. And I want to share this with somebody who knows more about this, so I can, you know, snowball that encouragement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens, of course. But I mean, I always looked at you guys as sort of my IT team when it comes to lots of stuff.
I think we got your calendar figured out, right?
Yeah. I think I just was interpreting it wrong from the very beginning. It was always my fault.
You probably read the dates like the Europeans read dates, and you're like, man, these are all wrong. I don't understand. Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. Cool. No, and then there's things I use, like I can't even think of a good example outside of memos, but there's lots of little apps and stuff that I use because you guys do them and talk about them, and there's certain workflows that I would never have done if I didn't work with you guys.
I know there's a lot of questions. I've got a hot tip for you, Jimmy, since I know you're an Apple user. Yes. You take a lot of screenshots of photos and stuff like that. You take screenshots of photos so you can keep them as inspiration. Yeah. There's a great built-in app on your phone and on your computer called Freeform. And you can take a screenshot and you can have it go directly to a Freeform board. And that could be your inspiration board. So you don't have to go through your photos. You just have these different boards.
It's funny. Maybe, I go to screenshots to see, you know, in that they set up screenshots as its own heading for when you look for albums. But that's good. Yeah, I got to look up Freeform. Another thing I do all the time, which is kind of, it's annoying. I look for a picture that I needed. I need a picture for some reference right now, but the picture is from a year ago. I take an hour. I find the picture. I screen grab it so it's at the top of my list. And I wish there was some sort of, way of taking a picture that's an old picture and finding it. But what is working for me now is if I know where I took the picture, I'll geo-search it. So it brings it up and I know where. Or if I happen to know the date, I could scroll through it quickly when it shows you the dates. And then you can zoom in and it shows you the days. That obviously helps. But if I don't, I'll just Google bell. The other day I wanted to show somebody the bell I made when I was in Sweden. So I just Googled bell in my photo app, in the Apple app. And it brought up 10 pictures of bells, mostly the bells that I photographed as reference. Only one of the 10 pictures it brought up was the bell that I made. But it was enough for me to look at the date and then go research the date and find more pictures of the one I made. So sometimes I just Google a word inside of the app, and lately it's getting better and better.
Well, with the new AI stuff that Apple's building into their phones, and I know Google has all of this stuff too, but it's building in more stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, pretty soon you'll be able to ask your phone to just like, show me pictures of bells.
And how soon before I'll be able to just type in Bob and then it brings up all the pictures of Bob's, whether it's been assigned to
you can already do that.
Oh, God, that's scary.
Yeah, it is a little scary, but it's also really cool. All right. So this is, we'll switch gears. This is a little tougher one from Jeff P. Does the term a rising tide raises all ships still hold true, especially when you're trying to make a living, or is it better to have a moat with a drawbridge?
I honestly think one of the most amazing aspects of this community is rising boats rise all tide, rise all boats, and how we all help each other and we share. I mean, there's some behind the scenes stuff that we share, which is a little boring. We always talk inside baseball publicly, but there's a lot more we talk about behind the scenes, like how much certain people would be willing to pay us. And what did you get? I got this, you know, my, I got more eyeballs, so I get a little bit more, you know, that's always in the very beginning. And then also, we also share a lot of sponsors from time to time, not necessarily us three, but you know, the community in general, like, you know, with the metalworking guys, with me and Zep and Derek, you know, we're always sharing guys back and forth and inspiring each other to try new. Like, nobody really keeps secrets.
I think there are some people that keep secrets, at the same time, like I'm with you in that I think even if you had something that you thought was a trade secret about what you do and you were to tell me, you and I, as close as we are, do things differently enough that we would not be competing for the same, the same eyeball, the same sponsor, the same whatever. It's just
at the same time, if you got 100,000 views on something, I want 100,000 views too. So it's like I would try and share whatever, you know, I would want, you know, whatever that special sauce is. I don't know how to put it, but
that knowledge is not the only thing that makes success, right? The success is the compounding of who you are, what you do, how you do it, who you're talking to, where and when, and you know, there's like all these different variables that are different. So why not share? Personally, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't share.
No, and then, honestly, I mean, without going into details, there are guys that don't share and you just think, screw them. I'm not going to talk to them. And then they ice themselves out of the game.
Plus, the rising tide just means more people are going to get into what we do. Like, there's got to be 10 times more woodworkers now than there was 15 years ago because of YouTube, right?
Of course.
There's billions of people are watching YouTube, which is bonkers. There's room for everybody. And it's not too late to get in.
That's true. I mean, I will say that, you know, I think there might have been a question in here somewhere about this, but I have empathy for people who are trying to get into what we do now, because it is just far more difficult to, not to do it, but to do it in a way that people see it. It's far more congested. There's people not only have a lot to watch on YouTube, but they have a lot to watch all over the place. Life is very different than it was 10, 15 years ago. So I feel for people who are trying to break into content creation as a job, as a full-time thing, because I do think it's a lot more difficult to accomplish now than it was. Not that it's impossible, but it's a weird thing in that anybody can do it. If you have a phone, then, you know, YouTube is free. It's free to upload. You can get free editing apps. You can do all the stuff. If you have a phone with a camera, you can do it. to do it well and stand out is a whole different set of of things that, you know, you can add on if you want to. A lot of people still do it the simple way and it works out fine and everything, but we just didn't have those same constraints when we got started. So I think we had it way easier than people might have it now. So
the thing is, you didn't have to, this is going to come out wrong, but you didn't have to be really good at what you did.
I was just saying that. I was just about to say the same thing.
That's true.
When we got started.
Yeah. Like, I could do bandsaw letters and that's enough. But then you see someone like Stuff Made Here who does the most amazing CNC engineering projects. And I'm like, I could never, ever, ever do that. So I get more comfortable in what I'm doing. But at the same time, it inspires me to think a little bit more outside of my comfort zone. Stuff Made Here does these amazing engineering projects. And then you see some of the stuff that like Mark Rober does. He does these incredible productions. And I think, I'm never going to do that. But I could up my game a little bit to be more aspire to what he does. I'll never do these big giant productions and I'll never work with a giant team like Mr. Beast, but I can be a little spectacular in my approach to certain things, knowing that this is what people are looking for. I'm never going to be, I was just about to say, Whistling Diesel, but I can have fun with a car and be a little bit, you know, I'm never going to buy a car to destroy it. But I could be a little bit more grandiose in my approach to certain aspects of my video that has something to do with the car. So,
and at the same
time, I certainly believe that the skill level that everybody else displays forces you to get in line.
Somebody's going to come along real soon here and they're going to have a completely different approach to woodworking and videos, and they're going to blow up fast. And I'm going to be like, man, yeah, I wish I would have thought of that. That's brilliant. And that's always going to happen because that happens in music and in films and art. So,
well, think about when Frank Haworth came along with his animation. I mean, he was always here with his animation, but when it started getting some real traction and how he does some real beautiful animations in the woodwork, it shows two loves coming together and it just shines.
That's the trick. It's bringing two things together to make it different and better than everything else that's out there.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody recently, I don't remember who it was, about this in regard to music and how popular music has always been a reaction to what came before it, right? You're either like rebelling against the style of music and doing something totally opposite, or you're taking what is currently popular and you're trying to twist it into your own version of that thing. And that's where rock and roll came from, and that's where jazz came from, and that's where all of the genres came from. A reaction to what came before. And that doesn't make the thing that came before bad, and it doesn't make the thing that came after good. It makes them different, and they each have their own opportunity to be something unique. And I think the same thing comes with like all media. And what we did years ago was a reaction to what people did before us. None of us started this, you know?
I started YouTube as a reaction to my TV experience.
Yeah. So, and I think the people that are, the person you're talking about, David, whoever that theoretical person is that is about to come do a totally new thing, it's a response to, man, these guys are boring, or man, I wish it had this, or whatever. Yeah. And that's awesome. That's what, that's the rising tides thing, honestly. Sharing information is one way you could look at that, but also pushing each other consciously or unconsciously to do better, to do bigger, to do cleaner, whatever, you know, it's the same idea. So, all right, so this one's from Bill Burkle. Is there anyone in the maker community in the last 10 years that you did not work with but you wished you could have? And that sounds like everybody's dead, but I think what he means is like, have we not collaborated with somebody that we would like to?
I would like to do a video with Matthias Wandel. That'll never happen, but it would be fun if he and I got in a room together.
Why would it never happen? I mean,
I don't know, because his life seems to be a little bit more private now with the wife and kids and stuff. Yeah. But I also proximity. You know, I mean, he's welcome here if he ever wanted to come and spend some time with here. Him and John could come. That would be funny to get the two grumpy old men here. It would be hilarious. Do something here. I think of the opposite approach. He's so engineer-minded, and engineer-minded but with an artistic bent and a little bit more of a let's see what happens. He does that let's see what happens in his mind more than he does in his, but he really does do a lot of let's see what happens, but he always knows the outcome. I never know the outcome. Yeah. So I don't know. If I could ever make that happen, that would be funny. I know he listens, so maybe I'll get an email from him. He was the reason. He's the real. When everybody says to me, "Why are you on YouTube?" Because of Matthias, and I've said that before. Hmm. He was the very first person I noticed on YouTube. I'm like, wow, this guy's insane. I could do something.
I don't think I knew that. Effect.
Yeah.
Hmm. What about you, David?
It's within the maker community, right? That was part of the question.
Sure. I don't know. Whatever. Answer it however you want. There's no rules.
This is true. That's hard. It would be you guys for sure. And we've tried and we fail because we all have crazy busy lives.
We didn't fail.
We did it once.
We did it one time. It worked.
The table. I forgot that we finished the table.
We got to do another one like that. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I think another one is, and I could probably just reach out to him and say, hey, let's do something together, which would be Kyle Toth. And the reason I picked Kyle Toth is
I would work with you in a minute.
His work is different than everybody else. And it's not different for YouTube. It's different because he's different. And the work that he does for art or for his clients is different. And I just like his approach to woodworking. And he has a very traditional background going to the school in Massachusetts, which I forget what the school's name is.
Oh, yeah.
And so he took traditional knowledge and then turned it into art. So I think Kyle Toth.
I don't think I could have one answer for this. I think there's a lot of people that would be really interesting to work with, but I am terrible at working with other makers. I've tried and we've done it successfully. We worked with Evan and Caitlin and we had a blast with them, and you know, it's never been a bad experience. I'm just like bad at trying to come up with an idea that requires somebody else's specialty. And I don't really have a specialty to offer, so it feels kind of unequal there. So I don't know. I have a hard time
like
with that.
I don't like that. I think you do, and you know you do.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
it's pressure. It is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I want to be useful, right? I want to be valuable in all things and in all the things that I do. And to get and I've worked with like Bill Duran before. We've done stuff together, and Bill's awesome. Bill, you can ask him a question about anything prop related, and he will have an answer because he's done all of
he's
it.
Got experience.
And most of what I know about props, I learned from Bill. So I can't be very helpful there in giving him stuff that he doesn't know. And so I don't know what we would. We've talked about doing stuff together again, and I don't know what that would be to where I could be valuable. In a way that where
maybe it's just a collaboration of experiences. Maybe it's really more at the pencil and paper versus
that's true.
The technical skill.
There's a million reasons why it would still work just fine. I'm just saying that in general, me and collaborations are difficult because I'm worried about what I have to put into it that's valuable. Yeah. But
it's like you don't see two architects designing the same building, and there's a reason for that. No, it needs to be specialized. You need to have an architect, you need to have the designer.
An artist and an engineer doing stuff.
Yeah.
So it's totally possible. It's just, that's why it's been difficult for me. But just to throw out some names, people I would love to do some stuff with, Shane from Stuff Made Here. Mm-hmm. There again, I have absolutely nothing to offer him that he doesn't already know how to do. So that probably won't happen, even though I know him. That would be cool. I would love to do. Destin and I are good friends, and we've talked about trying to come up with an idea to shoot a video together about building some contraption. But there again, like, he's on a whole nother level of engineering and, you know, all that stuff. I don't know. There's a bunch of people. But
say two more.
Two more?
Yeah, come on.
Man, that's a lot of pressure. I also don't want to leave anybody out because I know so many people.
No one's going to hold your feet too far.
I mean, okay, the two of you, and that's not just lip service.
Right.
Legitimately, I would love to learn. I would love to build something with David because I know that he has a finish and a precision to woodworking that I do not have an eye for. I don't even know how to start with. And that would be a good thing where I feel like I would learn a lot from that partition of what you do. Same with Jimmy except I feel like I would be able to pick up a lot more about just making use of what's available. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like you can make anything out of whatever is around you, and the goal is not to maybe have it be the absolute version, excuse me, the absolute version of the thing, but to have it do what it needs to do, look good, and be used, you know, be made out of what's like right here on the desk or whatever.
Maybe next time we do it, we build a jackalope trap, literally a jackalope trap, whatever the hell that is.
Jackalope trap. See, you just came up with that out of your head, didn't you? Dang it.
The three of us, it's going to be made out of walnut. It's going to look like mid-century modern. It's going to have metal on it and electronics.
That's it. Okay. And Simone, we'll catch the thing I would like to work with Simone.
Oh, yeah.
Because she can make things do things that I could never even dream about doing. And so I would like to take my approach to a finished, beautiful piece to something mechanical and useful or not useful. But yeah, there you go.
Cool. All right. Turgworks.
Whoa,
when what? Is Jimmy Turgworks is the... That's not an insult. I'm not calling you a name. That's the name of the Patreon supporter. Turgworks. When is Jimmy going to pick up Dave's Impala?
I've considered it, but I actually thought about it. But I want that year in a convertible. So it has to be.
You can make it convertible.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. That's a project
video. It's a subtractive process.
That's against the rules of nature, honestly. I can't do that.
I've had one person reach out, and we had a little conversation. and then I'm like, hey, I'm going on vacation. And we'll resume the conversation afterwards. So we'll see. I'm going to feel totally fine getting rid of the car. I'm actually going to feel better when the car is gone, because that car takes up a lot of space, and that car needs love, and it is not getting the love that it needs.
Yeah, makes sense. This is just a nice one from Jeff of the New Janky Workshop. Congrats, guys. What a huge achievement. No question that I can think of at the moment. Just wanted to extend my thanks for doing the show and sharing all that you do. It's just about the only podcast I listen to. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. That's
awesome.
Means a lot.
Yeah. let's see. We kind of talked about this. This is from James. We kind of talked about this recently, I guess. But what do you think you guys will be doing in 5 years from now and about 10 years from now?
That's tough. I don't.
I think I'm going to be making fine art. I think that's the direction I'm going. I'll always still do practical things because that's my life and in the homesteads and everything else. But I do believe that I'm going to be working myself towards fine art. And when I was just in Sweden, I was talking to Daniel, the marketing guy that I work with. And I was like, I cannot wait to get my hands on a giant chunk of wood and just square it up and then carve it into something crazy. And like these types of things. Everybody sees a sawmill and they make planks. I said, I want to see if I can do some weird art piece with it, even just for the sake of just trying to step outside of the lines. And you know, people, I said, the blade starts here and it comes completely through the material. So what happens if we cut partway through, pull it out, and then do another cut, and then do something different? And I don't know. I don't know what that means exactly, but I'm going to play around with it. And I think that's going to open up a lot of the large art sculpture for me, is playing with this machine.
I'm going to copy you, Jimmy, almost word for word here, because I don't see it's going to take longer than 10 years for me to be just focused on fine art, but that is the ultimate goal. That is, I think, what I'm working towards. And I've been talking to a guy locally, and we've been talking for weeks, and I just haven't had the money. I now have the money. I am buying a whole bunch of wood. Like, he has all these walnut trees that are slabbed up and then just been drying for years. And I want these thick slabs, not to make slab furniture, but to do things that I wouldn't normally do because I have huge pieces of walnut. Whether it's going to be furniture or art, I don't know, but I'm going to be getting that here shortly. And it's going to be sitting in the backyard, and it's always going to be right there waiting for me to use. And I, it'll just having wood that big and heavy and thick and long and wide is just going to open up more doors for me.
So for both of you, with fine art as a future, you know, pursuit, do you think video is a part of that? Do you think it's just a documentation? Is it a, product? Is it the product of the thing? What, like, how does it work into that?
I still love making videos. I love making videos as much, if not more, than woodworking. So I want the video to be part of the art, part of the process. I don't know if it's documentation. I don't know if it's part of the final piece, but video is going to be in there because I love video so much.
Hmm. What about you, Jimmy? Do you think pursuing fine art, is video a part of that? Or is it something that gets left behind?
No, I think so. I mean, I've been documenting my whole journey since 2011, and I wouldn't want to change that in any way. Because like I was trying to tell you last week, and I think you got a little bit, it's what we do is about what we do, but I think it's also about our own personal journey and the people watching and getting invested in the life changes that we've all made in this short period of time. This 10 years, it's been a blink of an eye, but you could see how much we've all changed in a good way. I mean, none of us have had any detrimental drawbacks to what we do in any case. You know, we've had ups and downs. We've had financial exposure, and we realize, oh, let's go this way, that way, you know. I've had some personal stuff. I didn't really turn my life inside out just because it's unnecessary, but people know what I've been going through. And I think it's just another part of the journey that people would be interested in seeing. And like I said, I'm not turning my life inside out, but I'm sharing my wins and some of my failures just so people can maybe learn from that or be invested in what we do.
And Bob?
Oh gosh. I was hoping you would not ask.
No,
me.
I'm just moving on to the next question.
Next 5-10 years. So in 5 years, I will have multiple kids in college. And so when I think about that, I think about how my time will be used differently. From one perspective, I'll have more time available because I'll have fewer kids here that I, you know, I'm dealing to their things and taking them to stuff and all that. But from the other perspective, like, they may go to college or do whatever is next for them far away. I may end up traveling more to be with my kids than I'm expecting now.
Your
so I really might, don't have
your
any
kids
idea.
Might turn it back on you and bring you into a whole new career and a whole new lifestyle.
I mean, could be. I have no idea. Like, I really don't know what to expect from
and
that.
You mentioned grandchildren. My brother John has a grandchild now. My niece Shannon had a baby who's about 2 years old now. And he's completely changed my brother's life in the way of, not financially, not artistically, but it's just my brother has a whole new outlook on life that is, doesn't necessarily apply to his career. Maybe in a way, he's much more joyful and he just loves the kid. He says, it's unbelievable how much I love this kid. He says all the time. Every family chat is filled up with 10 pictures of my my grandnephew from him.
So the kid thing, future kid thing, and their kids, I really don't know what to expect from that. And I want more than anything for them and their lives to inform what my life looks like, the rest of what I've got left, right? Like, it's about me. Sure, it's my life. I get to make choices about what I do and how I spend my time. But one of the ways I really want to spend my time is being a part of their lives as much as I possibly can. So it's pretty unknown to me. Yeah. I do think that from like a purely job perspective, looking 5-10 years out, I do think that there has to be a shift from make a thing, put it out, make a thing, put it out, whether that's video, product, whatever. There has to be a shift away from that to something that's a little bit looser as far as like my schedule, my time, my, you know, the like build release thing. Is it's not how most people's jobs work. Not on a 2 week or 1 week schedule anyway. It's like they build something for 6 months and then they release a piece of software or whatever. And so it's, I think, as I get older and need to reorganize my time around my kids and my grandkids, I think that is something that is going to have to change, and I don't know how that's going to change, but that would be my answer for 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Watch. Right,
how are we looking at it?
Watch in like 25 years, Bob is the only artist of the three, and he's just got like this crazy fine art career. Yeah.
No.
I work for the town driving a super truck.
That will not be the case. Let's see. We're an hour in and like pages and pages of questions left.
One more. We got one more.
So many. Okay.
It's been 10 years. We can go an hour and 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's so many good ones, and I didn't look ahead. If you... oh, that's funny. Hang on. There was one about... Oh my gosh. Let me find it. I know this is terrible podcasting when you're searching for something in a document.
What we could do is we could go into our picks and then come back to one final question at the end.
Sure. I just wanted to find this one because it was pretty good. Yeah, what do you guys have to recommend?
Okay. I was going to talk about the Vasser. Look up Vasser, the boat that sank in Stockholm Harbor. It's incredible. There's got to be so much information. But as a subject, that's my recommendation.
That's homework. You just gave homework, Jimmy.
And that was way too quick. You're not giving me time to find the thing that I'm trying to find.
I'll look up a good video on that.
All right. So my pick is, since I made rings last week, I want to recommend somebody who's been a huge supporter of all of us. And he's a patron of mine. And that is... I don't know how to pronounce his name. Legger's Workshop? L-E-G-I-E-R?
Yep.
Is Legger's, is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think so. That's how I say it. And he's never corrected me. So
he's a ring maker. And like, he's a real ring maker. Like, makes absolutely stunning rings. He's on YouTube and Instagram. I believe he has an Etsy store. And just a crazy good supporter of all of us. So I am going to recommend his YouTube channel.
Yes. He's great and super nice guy. He's actually doing some really cool stuff. Not only does he make cool rings, but he's a veteran and he's working with a whole organization. I will mess up the details if I try to explain them, but he's trying to build a veteran business and help other veterans. And, he did a contest recently and did really well to get a grant and all this type of stuff. Good guy. Very, very good guy. Makes good stuff. Now I have to do a question and a recommendation. What's up with that, man?
You could get out of your recommendation if you want. You always try to.
Well, no, I actually did have something. So I've seen this channel before. I was already subscribed to it and I forgot about it because I guess, I don't know if they put anything out for a long time. But my son showed it to me recently and it is called... Clicking. It is called Brick Experiment Channel. It's a Lego experiment channel. And I know the two of you might be saying, I'm not into Lego, so I don't care about that. But you will care about it because it's super cool. He built a Lego-powered submarine. This is a clear cylinder full of Lego pieces that can drive itself underwater. It can raise and lower itself within the water.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he doesn't talk at all in any video I've ever seen. It's just him building the thing. And just seeing how he gets to making a controllable submarine that he ends up putting in a creek and like taking it, I don't even know how far, really far down a creek. And he has a camera inside of it so you can see it like going through the water and stuff. It's super cool. He made a giant tank that can shoot some sort of little ball and it can like cock itself and shoot the ball. And then cock itself and shoot the ball, and he can control the turret with a PS4 controller.
Wow. Is
bonkers.
Are Legos Swedish or
Dutch?
Okay, because Dutch? A part of the Vasser museum experience was a whole section for kids where everything in the experience was about the ship but made with Legos. Hmm. It was a little side museum. I just looked inside. I don't think I was allowed in because I wasn't a child, but it was interesting to see that it was a real big piece of this museum. Was a whole Lego experience. So it was a good way to teach kids about the Vasser through the experience of something they might be familiar with.
I said the wrong thing and people are going to yell at me. I said Dutch. I meant Danish.
Danish.
It's from Denmark. I said the wrong thing.
So it's in the region, which is why it seemed familiar. Yeah. I just sent in to the chat the history guy, history that deserves to be remembered. He's a great channel, by the way. He did a story last year on the Vassar. So that's got to be great. And then also Leaguer's Workshop did a ring for me. It's right here. He did a ring for me in memory of my dad. So that's, I just posted that video too. So you guys mentioned Leaguer's Workshop. We could add that video link to the description. Cool. So thank you, brother.
He's made rings for a lot of people in the maker community as gifts, and he just gives them to you. He made one. So our Maker Alliance, our Patreon supporters for I Like to Make Stuff, they do a camp every year. It's like a summer camp weekend, and they get together and they teach each other stuff, and we all hang out and everything. It's really cool. But he did a ring making class, and I took a bunch of basswood for a carving class that I had. And the basswood was from a tree that my grandfather chopped up like 30 years ago or something. I don't know. But I have had tons of basswood that I'm never going to use. So I took it to this
really
class.
Beautiful wood.
They carved with it. And then he did a ring making class. And so at the end of the thing, I went over to say hi, and he gave me a ring made out of basswood from a tree that my grandfather chopped up back in the day. Super cool.
I'd rather say it, everybody would think I'm married.
Yeah. Wouldn't want that.
No.
All right. So my recommendation, is the Brick Experiment channel. Go check that out. And I do have the final question for this week. If I can find my document. Okay. Ooh, that's not the right one. Hang on. Where is it? Man, I'm so disorganized today. Okay. This is from Ross Alexander. Hi, guys. Love the show. As you do the show remotely, I'm interested. Have the three of you, and only you, with no one else, ever been, and then there's a list of things, in a car together? Have only the three of us been in a car together?
Yeah, when we were in Nashville, I think, and then also when we were down in Louisville. 2 years ago,
were we in a car together in Louisville? With nobody else?
I feel like it. No, probably that.
I'm sure we have at some point.
Yeah,
because we've taken an Uber to Maker Faire, or we've done something.
We were
like
in Nashville together, walking on the street, and we got these pictures. It's the first time.
That's true.
We really got like a threesome together.
Okay. So Ben and the YouTube video together. Yes, we did the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably the only one, though.
Yeah. I think so.
And Derek was in that video too, because he was around. So that's cheating. So that's not actually just the three of us. Been out to dinner together. Have the three of us only been out to dinner? I know we've been with other
people. Not just the three of us.
Not with us three alone.
Yeah.
Why is that? Oh, it's just probably because we've always been around so many other people.
Other people or wives, girlfriends were with us. But yeah, we've been out to dinner many times, but never just the three of us.
We should make that a goal.
I don't even think if we haven't been in a car, just the three of us.
Well, when we were in Chicago together a couple of times, were we ever in a cab together in Chicago? Probably not.
Even when we finished the table, it wasn't just the three of us because my brother was with us. I don't know if the three of us has ever been in a room
alone.
Only the three of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Surely we have.
I don't know.
I remember when we were in Chicago. You guys can refresh my memory. We were at a bar when we went to the first ORD meeting, and we were in a side room together for some reason, the three of us. Do you remember that? We stepped into a side room to have a conversation.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
possible.
What was that
yeah,
about?
I remember
Do you remember? There was a lot of fans there. For some reason, we stepped to have like a 2 second private conversation.
Okay.
I can't remember why.
That's kind of wild to think about that the three. I mean, we've been together a lot of times.
Yeah.
But never just the three of us, probably. Because the next one is, have we ever slept in the same building?
I don't know. I don't think so.
David and I have slept in the same building.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of times. We got an Airbnb together in California one time.
Yeah. Oh, then when you guys went to Rochester, you remember that?
Yep. Yes. I do remember that.
Yeah, that was funny. I showed up and you were like, save me. Save me.
Anyway, moving on. Have we been on stage together?
Outside
yes.
my bedroom window.
We absolutely
Take
have been on stage
you.
Together. Yes. In a pub together.
Yes.
Yeah. Been in a DIY store or home center together.
No. That would be interesting.
That's what we should do.
When 60 Minutes does a story on the three of us, it'll open up with the three of us walking around like a Home Depot with one of the reporters. It's got that vibe.
Okay. We should plan something together, and we can do the home center thing together, but we should all three go to a museum of some sort that we've never been to and experience something new together.
And I like that.
And that, and then our experience will be the podcast and maybe influence a project that we can make after the experience.
And you guys come here and make it with Matthias and John Hines before, five of us.
I've collaborated with Matthias before.
Really?
Long, long time ago, yeah.
Wow, I don't think I need that.
On a table.
Okay, cool. Well, I have many more questions, and we will probably at least do one other show of these questions, because there's really good ones in here. So, big thanks to everybody at Patreon for the questions and just for the support.
Thank you, BJ. I want to say thank you to BJ. He's one of our patrons. He sent me, he works at a scaffolding company, and he sent me an incredible scaffold to use in the graveyard house.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really cool.
Very cool.
There's some stories on that for sure.
If you want to check out the after show, maybe we'll do a couple of these questions in the after show or something too. But you can go to patreon.com/makingit, join up, support the show at any level at all, and you get the separate podcast that is the after show. And you can put it in your podcast player and listen to it just like you listen to this one. But legitimately, thank you to everybody who has listened, who has supported for 10 years, any amount of that 10 years. We are grateful for. That's just crazy to say. So we're very thankful for you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You guys got anything else for this week?
Just scaffoldmart.com. That's it. Thanks, BJ. I wanted to say it correctly. I just found it.
Real quick, if anybody wants to throw in their input, this morning on my morning walk, I found one of those crazy wire spools that like linemen would use. It's a spool that holds like electrical wire for, you know, lines. So it's got the round top, round bottom, and then a round column in the middle. As soon as I was done with my walk, got my truck, went and go picked it up. I'm going to turn it into a table or something. If anybody has any suggestions on some crazy stuff that I could do with it, leave them in a YouTube comment on any video. I see all my YouTube comments. So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening, and catch you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Happy 10 years. Love you.